Today's topic is called the four investments. The first investment is the tithe. The original translation of the tithe meant masar. The meaning of that is tenth. The objective is obedience. Malachi 3:6 through 10 says, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time your ancestors have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you do rob me. But you ask, how am I robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. But bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me on this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." See, the tithe goes towards the outreach and the overhead of the local church. This gives us the ability to have a place of refreshment for discipleship. This also gives us the ability to create tangible goods. But the most important thing is that it gives us the ability to continue to refresh others by spreading the good news and the gospel to as many people as possible. The tithes are to go to the local church. They do have a return on their investment. The return on their investment is what God said in Scripture. God Himself opening up the floodgates of heaven and pouring out so much blessing that there won't be enough room to store it. And if for some reason that you believe that tithing is irrelevant because of the New Testament, I would highly suggest that you take the time to meditate and read Hebrews 7 to see what was performed by Abraham in the line of Melchizedek. Though we are not underneath the curse of the law, we have had the ability and still have the ability to honor God with our tithe before the law of the Levites were ever put into place. Now, this message, I believe, is for the mature to discern and to gain wisdom. But also, if you're worried about the money, then maybe you should take the time to check the condition of your heart. If Christ gave His all so that you may live, then the very portion that you're choosing to share or not choosing to share from your harvest is the very portion in which He's given you already. I'm going to say that again. If Christ gave His all, what is it for us to share a portion of our harvest to go towards the expansion of His kingdom when the very portion that we have been given already belongs to Him because He's already blessed us with it? See, the tithe equals obedience to God. That's our first investment. Now, our second investment, I don't know if many people teach on this, if you've heard many pastors or preachers or even just what some may consider laymen to be able to speak on this subject, but the subject for number two, our second investment, is called first fruits. The original translation of that came from the word bikurim, which means promise to come. The objective of first fruits is generosity. The Israelites saw the first fruits as an investment into their future. God told them that if they brought their first fruits to Him, He would bless them with all that came afterwards. Pay attention to this scripture. Proverbs 3:9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Ezekiel 44:30 states, the first of all fruits of every kind and every contribution of every kind from all of your contributions shall go for the priests. You shall also give to the priest the first of your dough to cause a blessing to rest on your house. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not under reluctancy or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of all the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions and thanks to God. Pay attention. Because of this service, by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that has accompanied your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Those aren't my words. That is 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 14. Let's get into a little detail. The difference in the tithes and the first fruits, tithes are throughout the entire year, and it is a tenth of your income, but first fruits are normally an annual offering given to the ministers or to the church as a sign of gratitude for what the Lord has provided. This is your ability to show that you're not in love with money, that you're willing to be generous at all times, and that you are being a blessing to those who are in charge of the oversight and in charge of the church and its missions. This is a way for you to say thank you to the church and to the minister that has helped lead you to Christ. Think about it. How often do we give to those in Christ that have helped change our lives and save our lives from hell itself? Sometimes we're more willing to be generous to a server. Many of us have tipped a server far more than we have ever tried to be a blessing to those who have led us to eternal life. Matthew 6:24 states, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one or you will love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. The return on the investments that you make in first fruits, remember, this is a one-time year thing that occurs, and not everybody does this because not many people understand, but the first fruits are a blessing to your local church to show generosity and say thank you. The return on the investment, as God said in Scripture, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. God will increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. People will praise God because of your generosity. Number one, the tithe. Number two, first fruits. Number three is almsgiving. Original translation in Greek, if I pronounce this correctly, is eleemosyne. Now, the meaning of that word, alms, means to have compassion. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." That's a 1-to-1 ratio right off the bat. Proverbs 28 through 27 says, those who give to the poor will lack nothing. Wow. But those who close their eyes to them, the poor, will receive many curses. I'm just going to say those one more time. Proverbs 19 through 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what is given. You won't ever miss a dollar to what you give to those that are in need. And then Proverbs 28 through 27 states, listen close. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. I'm going to jump to Matthew 6, 1 through 4. It says, take heed that ye do not do your alms before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your heavenly Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou do thine alms, do not sound the trumpets before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and out in the streets, so that they may have the glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and that your Father will see what you have done in secret, and he will reward you openly. See, the return on your investment is that God will pay you back exactly what was given, and he will reward what you did in private. He will reward you openly. You won't miss a single cent of what was given to those that are in need. Almsgiving is compassion towards your fellow man. Timothy 6:10 states, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from their faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. I just want to show the context of what our investments are, and you'll notice that these are stark contrasts to what the normal earthly investments are that we tend to make throughout our lives, that we see that there is contention between God and money, and that you're going to serve one and you're going to hate the other. And just like we stated in Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people eager for that money have wandered from their faith and they have pierced themselves with many griefs. Let's go deeper. Luke 12:33 states, sell your possessions and give to those that are in need. When's the last time we've heard somebody preach on that? Sell your possessions. This ain't just the rich young ruler, guys. This is Luke 12:33. Again, sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven and will provide for you purses in heaven that never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe there. No thief can steal it and no moth or rust can destroy it. Matthew 6:19 through 21. Do not store up for yourself treasures in heaven. It says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, not heaven, earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Here's what I meant to say. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, not on earth, but in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Now notice that these first three have to do with money and goods, and that the last one, the last topic that we're going to talk on, the last investment that we have here out of the four investments that God has given us on earth. Before we get to the fourth, we'll do a small recap. It's literally tithes, first fruit, and alms. Our fourth is something called the seed. I'm going to read you some scripture here. It says in Luke 8, 5 through 15, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed, and some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell along thorns, which grew up, and it choked out the plants. Still, some of the seed fell on good soil, and it came to yield a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears," this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." His disciples asked him what the parable meant. He said, "Pay close attention. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God." I'll say it again. The seed, this is our investment opportunity. The seed is the word of God. Those that fell along the path are the ones that hear. And then the devil comes and he takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are those who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word of God and they retain it. And by preserving that crop, they will produce some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold as much. So the return on the investment of the seed is the word of God, is faith and reward that produces some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold as much. I pray that you search your heart and that you become in alignment with God in all things. Some of us may give, but God gave it all. And when he bankrupted heaven to give his son for the salvation and the atonement of all of our sins, for all of mankind, see, Christ himself made the choice to lay his life down so that we would have an abundant life and an opportunity to experience the life that he wanted for us as he saw fit. Christ himself wasn't here just to give a tenth. He gave his all when he allowed himself to be crucified on the cross. There is no love, as John 15:13 states, there is no love greater than to lay your life down for one of your friends. I want you to know that the subject in which we're speaking on barely touches on what I call the economy of God. And I pray that even the little bit that we've spoken on here just conditions your heart towards generosity, to search out the word of God for discernment, to just read through the Proverbs and seek out wisdom, to look through the wisdom literature and seek to have conditioned heart that is unified with the body of Christ, that is like-minded with God. I pray that you open your hands to the mission of being an ambassador of Christ. I pray that you will be known for irrational generosity generosity for all of your life, and that all of the kingdom promises this side of heaven will be bestowed on you in good measure. Like it says in Scripture in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and it will be poured out into your lap. Four, pay close attention. For with the measure you use, think about your faith. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Remember, only faith in God will save you. Not any of these works, but a true believer will walk how Christ walked, and he will abide in his teaching. And he will do the exact same things that Christ did while he was on earth in his earthly mission. And we have been called by him to do what he did, but not only what he did, but far greater. See, the scandalous love of God is our entire opportunity to invest in the kingdom of heaven and his return. He's going to provide almost an immeasurable increase in every form of giving. It's our opportunity to be a blessing to every person that we meet. Last scripture, 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. We're the rich of the world. If you don't believe me, I want you to go to a site called globalrichlist.com. Before I give you this scripture, I want you to take the time when you stop listening to this message to go to globalrichlist.com. I want you to type in what you make a week. If you don't understand what you make a year, you just take each check that you get and you times it by 52 if it's on a weekly basis. And then I want you to see how rich you really are. See, in 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19, this is what Paul said for Timothy. He said, charge them that are rich in the world that they be not high-minded, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, and willing to communicate, laying up store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. We're charged to be a blessing, to give richly in all things. Our four investments, tithes, first fruits, alms, and the seed. Tithes is obedience, first fruits are generosity, the alms are compassion, and the seed is the faith and reward. These are the returns on our investment. If you like this message and you would like to hear more about the economy of God, we just skim the surface. I want to pray for you guys that your eyes be open and that your ears hear, and that you diligently seek the will of our Father in heaven, that you become an irrational, generous person in all things and at all times, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that the way that other people see God, because no one has seen God, is the Spirit that lives in you, working itself out to salvation. It's to be a blessing so that others can see Christ in you. I want to pray that the condition of your heart be bent towards generosity, that you have love, care, again, generosity, forgiveness, and compassion towards all people, knowing that God is long-suffering, hoping all come to repentance, so that I ask that you be a blessing with your tenth, so that it can be administered to the church, and that they can refresh others by spreading the good news and the gospel, by creating the leverage that income comes together, not just a few people, but everyone coming together, united as the body of Christ, using their time, talent, and resources to leverage everything for the kingdom of God. The first fruits to show your generosity to those who have dedicated their life to spreading the good news and the gospel, helping pull you back out of the trenches, out from the pits of hell, away from the flames, and helped you maintain your lane on that narrow path to be able to be a blessing to as many people as possible. Your first fruits are a generosity to those who are in the kingdom of heaven that are dedicated to the work of God and to that ministry to be able to be a generous blessing to others. Your alms are your compassion on your fellow man. And that fellow man, it doesn't need to be spoken on. You need to protect your brother and sister, mother and father in their crisis. You don't need to speak on when you give to other people. You don't need a camera to be able to show your generosity. You need to be quiet and be able to be a blessing to people in secret, and God will bless you openly. And the seed is the word of God, producing some 30, 60, and 100 fold. If you got a mouth, use it. Spread the good news and the gospel, but make sure that your actions are speaking louder than your words, and you're being an absolute blessing to as many people as possible. This is the true unified body of Christ. This is what we have been called to be. We are here to represent Christ in all ways, at all times, unapologetically, blessing others through love, action, and in truth. I pray that God blesses you with this and all things this side of heaven that you need to complete the mission and to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I pray all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. We decree and declare, so it is so this very moment. Amen.